Hello and welcome to the Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper recording, providing news items from the Wallingford Herald for today, Wednesday the 19th of August 2026, with a couple of additional items taken from the 14th of August edition of the Henley Standard. Hopefully everyone is enjoying the slightly fresher and cooler weather today, following on from last night's much appreciated drop of rain. Today your readers will be Jane and Kay, with the occasional piece from me, David, who is also the producer this week. Roger is the copier for this edition.
Hello, I'm Jane. The headline this week is Outcry at Quakers Extension Scheme, and it is continued inside. Neighbours of a 300-year-old Quaker meeting house have wholeheartedly objected to the religious group's plans to extend their building to save them from extinction. The Wallingford Quakers have worshipped at the property in the town's Castle Street since the simple building was constructed in 1724. But the group report dwindling numbers at the ageing site, which is cold, damp, and difficult to access, and they've said urgent improvements are needed for the historic community, which otherwise might face extinction. Complex plans submitted to South Oxfordshire District Council to construct new buildings on the Grade 2 listed site involve separating it from the 19th century Bullcroft Park caretaker's cottage, which it currently shares facilities with, creating separate entranceways and constructing an extension in the garden. This would comprise a glazed link serving as a lobby between the meeting house and a new fellowship space, plus two new toilets and a kitchen area. The design would follow traditional Quaker simplicity and allow the group to host social activities, workshops, and other outreach programmes accommodating up to 40 people at a time. Around 20 residents of Castle Street have expressed outrage at the proposal and submitted objections. Karen Collins said, "As a direct neighbour, I object wholeheartedly to this application to build a huge extension in the back garden of the meeting house. This will impact my property, my mental health, my quiet enjoyment of my garden and property, and impact the surrounding area I and my neighbours enjoy. We live in a terrace house, all joined together front and back. It is insane to think this overdevelopment of our small area is being given consideration." Another neighbour, Tom Macriel, is deeply concerned about the extension due to existing issues with parking, which could be worsened by increased attendance at the meeting house. "This will increase the strain on the car park, which is already struggling to accommodate people who live there," Mr. Macriel wrote. Many others objected to the scale of the plan, the Quakers' plans to increase attendance at the site, and the adverse impact on neighbours' amenity. Wallingford Town Council similarly submitted an objection, stating that councillors considered the scale and layout excessive for the site and likely to have an unacceptable impact on neighbouring properties. The council's comment, "A loss of privacy, a reduction in natural light and an increase in noise and traffic levels for nearby residents, particularly if the development is to accommodate greater numbers of visitors and events." It added, "The council, however, acknowledged the positive contribution the applicant makes to the town and welcomes its endeavours to modernise and update its facilities."
Hello, I'm Kay, and this next item was also on the front page. RAF Benson gives thanks for Fantastic Families Day. RAF Benson has extended a heartfelt thank you to organisers and attendees after what was described as a Fantastic Families Day. The South Oxfordshire Air Base hosted the annual Community Day on Wednesday, August the 14th, marking the special occasion to celebrate and thank the families of the service personnel, civil servants, and contractors at the base. Around 3,500 guests were welcomed to the station on the day, enjoying air shows and taking to the skies with Chinook crews to return to bacon butties and children's activities. Wing Commander Alice Tierney, station commander, said, "It was wonderful to meet some of our families on station. Celebrating our people is one of the highlights of my role, and I hope everyone enjoyed their experiences." Stalls on the ground showcased the talent of the airbase personnel, plus local businesses, charities, and station clubs and societies. As the event coincided with VJ Day, Second World War era vehicles and aircraft were on display, and air displays featured the Lancaster Spitfire in photo reconnaissance unit colours, P-51 Mustang, and two Harvard training aircraft in homage to the base's military history. The RAF Falcons parachute team and the Chinook roll demonstration team wowed the crowd with their spectacular performances, and the entertainment continued into the evening with live music, food and drinks. Squadron Leader Elliot, event lead, said, "RAF Benson extends heartfelt thanks to everyone who attended and helped make the day such a success." And there are several photographs, one large one in particular, showing a group of people entering the Chinook, obviously with helmets, so they're about to take off, and also quite a colourful picture of the parachute team coming down in what looks like a pink cloud of smoke.
There is a photograph on the front page with the caption, "Historic tree can be felled." And it also is a photograph of the Coach and Horses pub, continued inside. Permission has been given to fell an iconic tree after experts declared it to be in irreversible decline. Estimated to be 150 years old, the horse chestnut on the Kinecroft in Wallingford has been monitored for years by arboriculture specialists who reported more recent signs of disease despite previous pruning. Having applied for permission, South Oxfordshire District Council has now let tree surgeons get on with the job of chopping it down. Wallingford Town Council said, "It is with real sadness that we share our intention to remove the historic horse chestnut tree on the Kinecroft. For generations, this tree has been a familiar part of Wallingford's landscape and has been part of the lives of countless residents and visitors. We know how much it means to our community, which is why this has been an incredibly difficult decision. Located in one of the town's busiest public open spaces and close to neighbouring homes, the tree's failing health presents a safety risk. The council said it has a legal duty of care to protect public safety. Remedial pruning had previously been carried out in an attempt to prolong the tree's life, but repeated inspections, including specialist internal decay detection surveys, confirmed that it would not be safely retained. Because the tree stands within a conservation area, formal consent was required before any work can take place." The council added, "Although the loss of such a mature tree can never truly be replaced, Wallingford Town Council is committed to planting a replacement tree on the Kinecroft. While it will take many years to mature, we hope it will become part of the lives of future generations, just as this horse chestnut has been for so many people today. The council is also exploring ways to commemorate the tree and preserve its legacy. Further details will be shared in due course."
And this is another item that was featured on the front page. PM, "I'll do all I can to lessen families' pain." Andy Burnham has said he wouldn't forgive myself if he did not try to lessen the anguish of PC Andrew Harper's family as the Prime Minister seeks to prevent the early release of the police officers' killers. Mr. Burnham has ordered Justice Secretary Alex Norris to draw up plans to free up prison space for serious offenders, and said he is increasingly confident the Abingdon-based policeman's killers will not be released early from their sentence as a result. Speaking to LBC, the Prime Minister was asked if he had a message for Amy Harper, the sister of the police officer who died in the line of duty in 2019, and who had shared with the broadcaster her experience of sitting in the courtroom with his killers. Asked what he would directly say to Ms. Harper, Mr. Burnham replied that, "I hear you, I feel for you. I wouldn't forgive myself if I didn't do everything I possibly could to try and lessen your anguish, and I am doing that. I am turning over every stone. I am looking at everything. I am pushing the system to go further." He added, "That's the way I go about my job. I listen to people. I continually push myself and the system to do more. In this instance, I think there is more that can be done." Mr. Burnham pointed to returning foreign national offenders, dealing with the issue of those serving imprisonment for public protection sentences and indeterminate jail term as means of freeing up prison space. The Prime Minister said, "I'm not making comments today in a knee-jerk way because I wouldn't raise false hope of people. I'm doing it in a considered way, having looked in detail at the situation, having considered a range of advice. I am confident that we can develop a plan to free up more spaces in the prison estate so that we can ensure more serious offenders serve their full term. Mr. Burnham has come under pressure from 50 policing leaders from across the UK to use every lawful option to prevent the early release of PC Harper's killers."
Starting again on the front page, there is large-scale coverage inside of pupils celebrating A-level results success. Weeks of nervous waiting came to an end last Thursday as pupils across southern Oxfordshire received their A-level results. And we have selected the part of the article most relevant to Wallingford at Didcot. Students and staff at Didcot Sixth Form College, the partnership between Didcot Girls' School and St. Berinus School, are celebrating another outstanding set of results. Overall results for the Sixth Form are in line with last year, which was the best in the Sixth Form's history. Most notably, 37% of all A-level entries were awarded A or A plus grades, up from 35% last year and 31% the year before. The proportion of A star to B grades and the overall pass rate also matched last year's record figures at 65% and 99%. James Cross, director of Didcot Sixth Form, said, "We are incredibly proud of everything our year 13 students have achieved. These results reflect their sustained effort, intellectual ambition and determination, as well as the way they have supported and encouraged one another throughout their time with us. To have matched last year's record overall performance at all grade boundaries, whilst achieving our highest ever proportion of A star and A grades, is a tremendous accomplishment." Beyond their academic success, this cohort has made an exceptional contribution to the life of our Sixth Form and the wider school community. They leave us as confident, thoughtful and compassionate young adults, and we look forward to seeing all that they go on to achieve. At Wallingford School, head teacher John Marston said, "Everyone is very proud indeed. This has been a talented year group which has worked tremendously hard and made a significant contribution to our school, both within the classroom and beyond." Mr. Marston added, "Destinations are broad and varied, and almost all students have managed to secure a place at their institution of choice to study a diverse range of competitive courses at universities and colleges across the country. Equally, those who might be having a gap year or going into work-based training are very well set for future applications and options." And there are various photographs of various students looking delighted with their results.
Firefighters pushed to limit by relentless blazes. Firefighters face physical and mental exhaustion as they are forced to tackle unprecedented and relentless blazes during the hottest summer on record. This summer, the county has seen devastating fires at farms, a school, landfill site, and forest while under drought conditions and experiencing record-breaking heat. Lee Newport, acting chair of the Oxfordshire Fire Brigade Union, based at Didcot Fire Station, said staff were burned out and has called for support, describing this summer as a crisis point. He said, "I cannot emphasise enough how busy it has been in Oxfordshire. We are at a crisis point now in this country." Mr. Newport said he had never experienced anything like this summer's blazes in his 22 years in the fire service, saying this is unprecedented. He described going to a call out, coming back and servicing kit, only to be called out again, saying the fires are relentless, citing Goring Heath, Blueberry Farm and Greenway's landfill blazes as just some of those that have seen crews called out from his station. The union is calling for government funding for wildfire-specific protective equipment and gear. Mr. Newport explained the kit that firefighters are using now is not designed for the continuous nature of wildfire and field blazes. He said, "We just need support. It is just physically and mentally exhausting." The General Secretary of the Union, Steve Wright, has also served across Oxfordshire. He has been speaking out on the situation, which he is calling a national emergency, and has received government confirmation that there will be a national wildfire summit. Mr. Wright explained how fire services have had to pool resources, saying 5,000 more firefighters are needed. Last month, Oxfordshire fire crews were sent to Suffolk to help with a major wildfire incident there. Previously, a spokesperson for Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service said, "We have crews and resources in place to provide emergency response across Oxfordshire." Oxford East Labour MP Annalise Dodds said, "This spring and summer's sustained record-breaking hot temperatures have only underlined how the climate crisis is already affecting us here in the UK. Our brave firefighters and other emergency workers have been at the sharp end of trying to protect people from the very worst impact." She said she will continue to push for action. Green County Councillors Robin Jones and James Barlow wrote to the Oxfordshire Chief Fire Officer and his deputies, thanking them and their crews for their exceptional help given to the many people struggling with the frightening impacts of the recent extreme heat and drought. In a letter, they described fear for the priority calls which have to be handled during the blazes. And there's a photograph of two firemen from Goring Fire Station, only in their trousers with their braces. So I think they finished firefighting because they've both got ice lollies in their hands, which have been given by well wishers. This next item is also related to the previous item concerning fire outbreaks. Plea to take extra care over fires after another field blaze. A desperate plea has been issued for people to protect against fires as fields around Wantage and Grove burn. Wantage Town Council, the police and Vale of Whitehorse District Council have put out statements asking for people to take extra care over the risk of spreading fires. It follows record temperatures this summer, which has seen fields across the south of the county dry out and people swelter in conditions up to 36 degrees C. Alongside this heat has come a large number of fires around the country, including in South Oxfordshire, with a major field fire occurring on Sunday evening at Armstrong Avenue Grove, with three crews involved. A spokesman of Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service said crews used hose reels and beaters, assisted by the water carrier vehicle, to extinguish a fire in a field. Eyewitness Simon of Wellington Gate said, "I've never seen so many people on the streets of the estate checking it out for peace of mind to ensure it had been put out." He added the fire brigade did a great job, as always. This followed the police reporting on a recent fire started by over 20 teenagers, which the force called one of the most reckless things we have come across in some time. This was by an abandoned barn, with the officers dispersing the group and ensuring both fires were fully extinguished. They said, "We would urge parents and guardians to speak with their teenagers about the dangers of lighting fires, especially during such dry conditions. What might seem like harmless fun could very quickly have led to a major incident. Such is the seriousness of the issue. Prime Minister Andy Burnham sanctioned a controversial special national alert on Friday, August the 14th. Appearing on all phones, it reported a very high risk of wildfires nationally and encouraged people not to use disposable barbecues, fire pits, garden incinerators, or fireworks. The councils have also shared their own warnings." A spokesperson for Vale of Whitehorse District Council said, "When it comes to fire safety, we urge everyone to follow the advice of the relevant authorities, in particular the emergency services. The council will share the government advice to help minimise the risk of wildfires." Meanwhile, Wantage Town Council released a special message, sharing advice from Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service, including to not discard cigarettes or matches on the ground. It also asked that people not park on dry grass or vegetation, as heat from underneath can cause a fire. The spokesperson added, "With hot and dry weather increasing the risk of grass and countryside fires, we're asking residents and visitors to take extra care when enjoying Wantage's parks, open spaces and surrounding countryside. Fires can start very easily in dry conditions and spread quickly."
Private dog walking paddock opens. A private dog walking paddock has opened up near Didcot. The 3-acre field in West Hagbourne is open for dog walkers to privately walk their dogs in a safe and secure field away from other people, dogs or animals. The field between London Road and the A34 has been transformed to accommodate all dog breeds and owners, with space for up to 15 dogs. The paddock opened on Friday the 7th of August, and owners can now book weeks in advance to walk their dog. Owners of the field plan to install a shelter in the field amid the rising temperatures. The field is open from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. 1 to 3 dogs is £10 an hour, 4 to 5 is £12, and over 6 dogs is £15. Another field in the area, Hagbourne Dog Field, located in West Hagbourne on the outskirts of Didcot, is a 1.5-acre field that opened in 2022.
Cannabis Users Court. Thames Valley Police seized cannabis from people watching a meteor shower. The force was attending a report of hare coursing in Cholsey near Wallingford last week and instead found people smoking cannabis. Its Rural Crime Task Force said PC Uren attended a report of hare coursing near Cholsey and the area was searched, but nothing was located. Whilst there, he located people watching the meteor shower. Unfortunately for them, a distinct smell of cannabis led to them being searched, and cannabis was found and a community resolution was issued. Cannabis remains a Class B drug under UK law. Public use or private possession can lead to police station fines or an arrest.
Nearly 90% back plans for new reservoir. Almost 9 in 10 people in the South East support plans to build a controversial new reservoir in southern Oxfordshire. New research shows 89% of people back the proposed White Horse Reservoir near Abingdon to help with future water shortages. It comes as the UK is set to enter its fifth record-breaking heatwave this week, with more than two-thirds of England now officially in drought. Thames Water, Affinity Water and Southern Water customers would benefit from the reservoir. Thames Water predicts a daily shortfall of 1 billion litres by the year 2050 without urgent action. The reservoir, if approved, could be operational by 2040, providing water to about 15 million people. Despite public support and the ongoing heatwaves, the UK has not constructed a new reservoir in over 30 years. July was the hottest, sunniest and driest month since records began, with temperatures reaching 35 degrees centigrade in May, June and July for the first time. Léonie Dubois, Thames Water's delivery director, said this summer has served as a stark reminder of the extremely hot and dry weather that is set to become our new norm. It's therefore vital that we're able to store more water, and White Horse Reservoir's role in future water supply is of national critical importance. It's incredibly encouraging to see people backing our plans and wanting to see the reservoir become a reality. But in a statement action group against reservoir development, they called the reservoir the wrong solution in the wrong place. The massive reservoir, which will cover an area the size of Gatwick Airport, has always been a topic of debate. Only Kielder Water in Northumberland, at 200 billion litres, is bigger. Two groups, Countryside Charity CPRE Oxfordshire and Safer Waters, even sought a judicial review at the High Court. However, their judicial review was dismissed. Thames Water revealed that costs for the controversial proposed Abingdon Reservoir soared from £2.2 billion to between £5.5 billion and £7.5 billion, a tripling of the original figure. Oxfordshire MPs have also raised concerns over the estimated cost of building the reservoir.
Piece of aviation history returns to base. An iconic piece of aviation history has returned to an RAF base in Oxfordshire. RAF Benson's iconic Spitfire Gate Guardian replica is back after undergoing extensive refurbishment. It was removed on May the 12th for a temporary essential restoration and repainting project. The aircraft was reinstalled with the help of the Joint Aircraft Recovery and Transportation Squadron. Personnel at the station expressed gratitude for the efforts of those involved in lifting and securing the historic aircraft back on its pedestal. A statement for RAF Benson said, "She's back and looking magnificent. After undergoing an extensive refurbishment, our beloved Spitfire Gate Guardian has been reinstalled at RAF Benson. A massive thank you to Joint Aircraft Recovery and Transportation Squadron and the dedicated personnel who managed the lift and secured this iconic piece of aviation history back onto her pedestal. RAF Benson near Wallingford plays a crucial role in supporting both UK and overseas military operations."
Summer Fireworks Festival postponed. An event which claims to be the UK's biggest summer fireworks show has been postponed by the organisers amid an extreme fire risk. The Abingdon Fireworks Festival, which was due to take place at Abingdon Airfield on Saturday the 29th of August, has been postponed until April the 10th next year due to the risk of wildfires. The pyrotechnic extravaganza, which was billed to include four daytime displays and a 270-degree closing show, a wall of fire, a huge fairground and hot air balloons, was called off by organiser Explosive Events on Sunday. They said they were devastated to be cancelling the show. A statement from Explosive Events said, "It is with enormous disappointment that we confirm the postponement of Abingdon International Fireworks Festival due to the current extreme fire risk. An enormous amount of work has gone into this year's festival. That includes not only the design, manufacture and preparation of some truly incredible firework displays, but months of event planning, risk assessment and countless meetings specifically addressing fire safety and the changing conditions. Last week, the conditions reached the predetermined trigger point within our planning, at which postponement became the responsible course of action. The organisers said the decision was made before locals raised their concerns and the issue was brought to the attention of local councillors, but it was not announced to give them a chance to communicate the decision with contractors and suppliers. They added that despite an extensive mitigation plan, including four fire engines on site, trained personnel and fire breaks, the risk could not be eliminated. The statement continued, "The devastating fires we have witnessed around the country have demonstrated just how quickly a fire can establish and become uncontrollable in these conditions. No firework display, however spectacular and however much work has gone into it, is worth taking an unacceptable risk with people's homes, livelihoods or the surrounding environment. We are absolutely devastated to have reached this point, but safety has to come before commercial considerations, months of work and our own disappointment. Our thoughts remain with everyone affected by the recent fires, and particularly the fire and rescue service personnel working tirelessly in extraordinarily difficult conditions. We would like to thank Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue, the Ministry of Defence and Event Fire Solutions for their time and support in helping the event go ahead safely and then making the final call." Explosive Events said all ticket holders would be contacted this week regarding the new date.
Solar panels upgrade for Art Centre. Didcot's Cornerstone Art Centre is set to undergo eco-friendly upgrades. The South Oxfordshire District Council's Art Centre will have solar panels and air source heat pumps installed. The work on Cornerstone Art Centre in Didcot will involve replacing old gas boilers with four air source heat pumps and installing 56 solar panels on the roof. The upgrades are expected to save around 55 tonnes of carbon dioxide annually and should be completed by the end of the year. The centre should remain open as contractors will primarily work outside on the roof and at the rear of the building. The project is funded by the Community Infrastructure Levy, the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, and just over £375,000 from the government's public sector decarbonisation scheme delivered by Salix. Councillor Peter Paul Barker, Cabinet Member for Finance and Property Assets at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "I am delighted to see this work begin at Cornerstone. It is our ambition to reduce carbon emissions in the district and in council operations. By making these changes to our arts centre in the heart of Didcot, we will effectively be doing both. Reducing carbon emissions will help tackle climate change, which has been clearly embodied by this long, hot summer."
Housing estate still missing allotments. Allotments promised to residents at Great Western Park in Didcot years ago have still not been delivered. Didcot West County Councillor Ian Snowden has highlighted the lack of allotments at the 3,300 home estate, which was completed about 4 years ago. It's the latest example of a lack of community provision for the large estate. Residents have been waiting a decade for a new GP surgery run by Woodlands Medical Centre. The medical centre appointed London-based Apsley Henley Med Limited after Assura's proposal for the new surgery building was deemed unaffordable. While plans for the centre now appear to be moving forward, Mr. Snowden is frustrated there has been very little progress with the proposed allotments. He posted on Facebook, "The first allotments were supposed to be delivered before the 1,000th home, the second allotments before the 2,000th home, and the final provision before the 3,300 home development was completed about 4 years ago. In August 2026, we are still waiting for the first allotments to open." Mr. Snowden said a photo of the allotments land close to Ash Way from 2023 showed a construction compound with rubble, machinery, containers and construction materials instead of a car park for the allotments. He added the latest officer update says remaining roadworks and a car park should start imminently, with the hope of achieving practical completion towards the end of September. There will still be the transfer of the land from Taylor Wimpey to the council, arrangements with the town and parish councils, and then the allocation of plots to residents. Mr. Snowden warned there was still no specific date for the delivery of the allotments, which would turn areas of underused or undeveloped land into attractive green spaces. Allotments across the town are already under significant pressure, with demand for plots outstripping supply, the county councillor added. Mr. Snowden said these new allotments at Great Western Park were supposed to help relieve that pressure and provide much needed additional capacity for a rapidly growing community. Instead, after years of delay, residents are still waiting, meaning the pressure on existing allotment provision has only increased. These allotments were not an optional extra. They were planned as part of the infrastructure needed to support thousands of new homes. They should have been relieving that pressure years ago. After thousands of new homes have been built, residents shouldn't have to wait years and years for the infrastructure they were promised. Developers Taylor Wimpey told the BBC in 2024, "We have completed all necessary steps, including submitting all relevant paperwork and soil testing results to South Oxfordshire District Council and the Vale of Whitehorse District Council." The company added that it remained committed to deliver the allotments to the residents as soon as possible. Police aim to combat e-bikes and e-scooters. A second weapon has been unveiled by the police to combat e-bikes and e-scooters. It was reported earlier this week that officers had started using DeterTex Smart Tag Spray. This can be fired from a handheld canister over distances of up to 10 metres, coating riders, clothing and bikes with an invisible marker. The spray is only detectable under ultraviolet light and carries a unique forensic code linked to the specific canister used, allowing investigators to match a suspect to a particular incident weeks or even months later. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary says the technology gives officers a safer tactical option when dealing with motorcycles, e-bikes and e-scooters being used in crime or antisocial behaviour, reducing the need for risky pursuits or close confrontation. The move comes amid growing complaints about riders using powered two-wheelers on pavements and in public spaces, and follows similar trials by Dorset Police and other forces to tag offenders rather than chasing them through busy streets. Thames Valley Police has told this newspaper this week that a second spray is being used in Oxfordshire and across the region. The DNA tagging spray from Selector DNA acts in a similar way and is also being used to combat e-bikes and e-scooters. Thames Valley Police, which covers Oxfordshire, Buckinghamshire and Berkshire, has already seized more than 100 illegal machines in recent operations.
Area bucks trend with drop in crashes. Collisions and casualties on Oxfordshire's roads are falling, in contrast to rising incidents elsewhere. Recently confirmed Department for Transport figures show around an 18% drop in people killed or seriously injured, or KSI, on Oxfordshire's roads compared to the previous year. In contrast, the wider Thames Valley area appears to have recorded an approximately 20% increase in KSIs during the same period. Tim Bearder, leader of Oxfordshire County Council, said, "This is extremely encouraging. Oxfordshire is bucking the wider Thames Valley trend, with serious and fatal casualties falling significantly at a time when neighbouring areas are seeing increases. This shows the approach we have taken in Oxfordshire is working. We have made a conscious decision as a county to take speed seriously, because lower speeds save lives, reduce the severity of injuries, and make our communities safer and healthier places to live. Much of the improvement is being attributed to the county's rollout of 20 mile per hour schemes, introduced at no cost to town and parish councils. More than 275 communities have implemented these measures since the scheme began." Gareth Epps, Cabinet Member for Transport Management, said, "These figures show real progress and the positive impact of our Vision Zero programme."
Club barman who stole nearly £2,000 is sentenced. A former barman at an award-winning social club has been sentenced for stealing thousands and trying to swindle much more from his employer. Greg Walsh, age 38, was sentenced to 9 months in jail, suspended for 2 years, at Oxford Crown Court on Friday the 7th of August, on one count each of theft by employee and fraud by abuse of position. While employed by the Comrades Club in Wallingford as a barman in June 2023, Walsh stole bags of cash worth £1,734 and dishonestly abused his position as barman to make a gain of £2,000 for himself. Walsh of Hollyoaks Close in Redditch, Worcestershire, was sentenced to 9 months in jail, suspended for 2 years. Wallingford Comrades Club is a historic social club which has been running for more than 100 years, formed by World War I veterans on their return to the town. It won the title of South Oxfordshire Camberra's Club of the Year for 2026, which the head of the establishment, Alan Streets, put down to its great ales and friendly banter.
Man detained after major train delays. A man was detained under the Mental Health Act after a serious incident led to hours of rail disruption across Oxfordshire. British Transport Police were called to Cholsey Railway Station at around 4 p.m. on Monday of last week, following reports of a person on the tracks. Great Western Railway said a person had been struck by a train, but police later confirmed that the man was unharmed. A spokesperson for British Transport Police said, "Officers responded with paramedics and found a man who was detained under Section 136 of the Mental Health Act and taken to a place of safety. He had not suffered any physical injuries. The incident caused major delays between Didcot Parkway and Reading, with all lines blocked while emergency services, including police and the fire service, responded. Passengers were warned that journeys could take up to 90 minutes longer than usual, with some services cancelled and others only able to run partially. Long-distance services were held at stations away from the affected area to avoid passengers being stranded on board. All lines reopened by 6:30 p.m., but delays and disruption continued into the evening, with some journeys still affected at 9 p.m. Great Western Railway said passengers delayed by 15 minutes or more may be entitled to delay repay compensation.
Care worker takes 12,000-foot skydive. A care home worker has taken to the skies in a charity skydive from 12,000 feet. Blerta Kesula, an activities coordinator at Barchester's Waterside Court Care Home in Wallingford, completed the skydive in support of the Alzheimer's Society, raising £650. Ms. Kesula said skydiving from 12,000 feet was both exhilarating and emotional. I'm incredibly grateful for everyone who supported me. Knowing that the money raised will help people living with dementia makes the experience truly meaningful. She is a self-confessed adrenaline junkie, and colleagues praised her dedication to enriching the lives of residents. The team at Waterside Court added, "We are immensely proud of Blerta. Her passion, bravery and commitment to supporting our residents and the wider community shine through in everything she does. Funds raised will help support people living with dementia," and there is a very dramatic photograph of her on her way down attached to her instructor with a great beam on her face.
Concern at big rise in religious hate crime. The Bishop of Dorchester has urged the community to stand together against hatred after figures show a rise in faith-related hate crime. Newly released data from Thames Valley Police shows recorded religious hate crime offences rose by more than a third, that's 36%, in the last year, with 409 incidents logged between July 2025 and June 2026, up from 300 the year before. The Right Reverend Gavin Collins, who also serves as the Acting Bishop of Oxford, said, "Hatred in any form, whether anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, racism or xenophobia, has no place in our society. This increase in reported hate crime is deeply concerning, and I encourage anyone who experiences or witnesses it to report it to the police." Bishop Gavin said faith and civic leaders across the county were working closely together to respond. He said through the Oxfordshire Faith and Communities Forum, which I co-chair with Imam Monawar Hussein, faith and civic leaders work together to build trust and stand together against hatred and those who seek to divide us. Our response must be to strengthen relationships, uphold the dignity of every person, and work for peace. Responding to the latest figures, Thames Valley Police said the rise may partly reflect greater confidence among victims and witnesses in reporting offences. A force spokesperson said, "We recognise that the number of religiously motivated hate crime offences recorded across the Thames Valley has increased over the last year. A rise in reporting can reflect a number of factors, including greater awareness of what constitutes a hate crime and increased confidence among victims and witnesses in coming forward. Hate crime of any kind has no place in our communities, and we understand the significant impact these offences have on victims, their families, and wider communities." The force said it continues to work closely with local authorities, faith groups and other partners to understand concerns, support victims and prevent hate crime. It is also being supported by £250 million of government investment aimed at strengthening the response to anti-Semitism for police forces across England and Wales. The spokesperson added, "We would encourage anyone who experiences or witnesses a hate crime to report it to police so that we can investigate and ensure appropriate support is available." The figures have been published against a backdrop of wider national concern around community tensions, hate crime, and extremism. This comes as the UK's national terrorism threat level rose to severe in April following attack to two Jewish men in Golders Green, North London, with the MI5 security service noting the increase was driven by a rise in both Islamicist and extreme right-wing terrorist threat from individuals and small groups in the UK.
Cash boost to protect ancient sites along prehistoric trail. A major archaeological project has secured a funding boost to help protect ancient monuments along one of Britain's oldest routes. The historic Ridgeway project has been awarded £129,100 from Historic England's Regional Capacity Building Grant Programme to continue its work until May 2028. Funding will allow the scheme, which supports hands-on conservation and community engagement along the historic Ridgeway National Trail, which passes through Oxfordshire, to expand its reach into Buckinghamshire for the first time. Otis Gilbert, Heritage Risk Project Officer, said, "We are delighted to be able to offer this grant to continue the vital work on the nationally significant archaeology around the Ridgeway National Trail." He said, "It is an important way of working with local people, DEFRA and local authorities to support better management of the historic and natural environment in England's most special places. The project will provide new opportunities for people to get involved in caring for archaeology near them." The project, supported by a team including a project manager and volunteer coordinator, undertakes conservation activities, public engagement, and volunteer-led heritage recording. Much of the hands-on work is delivered with the backing of landowners and an active network of volunteers, with funding for individual conservation schemes coming from project partners. Dan Bashford, project manager, said every section of the Ridgeway National Trail has its own archaeological story to tell. Extending the project into Buckinghamshire will help us identify and record vulnerable heritage sites, improve our understanding of how people have used this landscape over thousands of years, and put practical conservation measures in place to protect them for the future. Until now, the project has focused on a 30-mile central stretch of the 87-mile Ridgeway Trail in Oxfordshire and West Berkshire. The new funding and territorial extension will allow the team to continue into Buckinghamshire. At the heart of the historic Ridgeway project is the condition and stewardship of the trail's 47 scheduled monuments, all legally protected. And one of the photographs accompanying this is of Wayland's Smithy, which is a burial chamber on the Ridgeway.
Rare Victorian sculpture returns to its historic home. A rare Victorian sculpture has been saved from export and returned to its original home. Following a successful 280,000 fundraising campaign, the portrait medallion of Florence and Alice Campbell, 1857, by French sculptor Henri de Tricchetti, has been acquired by the trustees of the Farringdon Collection and will now be displayed at Buskett Park near Farringdon. A descendant of Alice Campbell also contributed to the fundraising effort, ensuring the piece remains in the UK. James Henderson, great-grandson of financier Alexander Henderson, who later owned Buskett Park, said, "I feel like we've brought Florence and Alice home." Florence is buried in the Buskett churchyard with a plain slab and just her initials. This carving is from a happier time. The sculpture, designated a national treasure in November 2025, was placed under a temporary export bar by the UK government on the advice of the Reviewing Committee on the Export of Works of Art and Cultural Interest, giving UK institutions the chance to acquire it. It was commissioned by Robert Tertius Campbell, an Australian entrepreneur who purchased Buskett Park in 1859, and depicts his daughters Florence and Alice as children. Dr. Amy Lim, curator, said, "Buskett Park is renowned for its collection of Victorian paintings, but we have far fewer sculptures and until now, nothing that related to the Campbell family. This beautiful sculpture is the most important acquisition for the Farringdon collection since 2013. It will help us to tell visitors about an important chapter in Buskett Park's history, as well as the tragic life of Florence Bravo and the study of Victorian art. The sculpture stands nearly 2 metres tall and features the sisters holding a Greek vase containing a lily, symbolising purity, while grapevines and convolvulus twine around the medallion, symbolising charity and the bond between the sisters. Tragically, Florence Bravo became infamous as the widow at the centre of the 1876 unsolved murder of her second husband, Charles Bravo. Although never indicted, the scandal overshadowed her life and she died aged 33, buried in an unmarked grave at Buskett Church. Mr. Henderson said, "Tricchetti was a very skilled sculptor and had a big following here and in France in the mid-19th century. In this piece, he's really caught the affection of the two young sisters for each other and the interlocking of hands. Tricchetti was quite forward-thinking in his composition and hugely influential."
Council gets special role in Homes Plan public inquiry. A council has secured a special role in a public inquiry into a controversial housing development. Wallingford Town Council has been granted Rule 6 party status by the Planning Inspectorate for the upcoming inquiry into the proposed Crowdace Homes development west of the Shillingford Road. This status allows the council to submit evidence, question witnesses, and present its case during the inquiry. A spokesman said this is an important step, as it means the town council will be able to take an active role in the inquiry, ensuring that the interests of Wallingford and its residents are fully represented. As a Rule 6 party, the council can submit evidence, present its case, question witnesses, and contribute directly to the inquiry alongside the other main parties. Crowdace Homes is appealing South Oxfordshire District Council's rejection of its plans to build up to 400 standard homes and 80 age-restricted units for older people in Wallingford. The plans also include sports pitches, a clubhouse, and community allotments. More than 750 objections were submitted, with residents and local groups warning of increased traffic congestion around Shillingford Bridge. Others argued the scheme conflicted with the Wallingford Neighbourhood Plan. Concerns were also raised about environmental impact, archaeological potential, proximity to sand and gas mineral reserves, and strain on local school catchments. The Town Council has consistently objected to the proposal. A spokesman said the Council remains committed to ensuring that Wallingford's voice is heard throughout the inquiry. They argued the scheme would negatively affect infrastructure, transport, community facilities, and the environment. It also questioned whether the plans complied with the South Oxfordshire Local Plan and the Wallingford Neighbourhood Plan. The inquiry is scheduled to begin in January 2027. The Council will now prepare its statement of case and supporting evidence. A spokesman said, "We will continue to keep residents informed as the appeal progresses." And there is a photograph of two very unhappy looking people in the opposition group.
And now we come to the announcements, and today we have two. First one, Ingrid Eaton, passed away on the 27th of July, aged 91 years. Beloved wife of the late John Eaton. Loving mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. Funeral service to be held at St Mary's Church, Wallingford, on Tuesday, the 25th of August at 2 p.m. Donations in memory of Ingrid are welcome to support ongoing works in St Mary's Church. And the second one, Era Elenid Hoare, passed away peacefully at the JR Hospital on the 10th of July, aged 85. Era was the loving wife of Derek, very much loved mum of David, dearest grandma of Evie and Dylan, and great friend of daughter-in-law Katie. Era's funeral will take place at St Mary's Church, Wallingford, at 2 p.m. on the 27th of August. She will be buried in Wallingford Cemetery. No dress code, wear what you like to celebrate Era. Daffodil pin badges to wear will be given on arrival. Afterwards, a celebration will be held at the Dolphin. Flowers or donations in lieu to Marie Curie via erahoare.muchloved.com. River Crossing aims to cut congestion. Work is underway on the long-awaited Didcot to Culham River Crossing. The project forms a key part of Oxfordshire County Council's wider HIF1 infrastructure scheme. It aims to improve transport links, reduce congestion, and support sustainable travel. Councillor Liz Leffman, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Highways Construction and Repair, said the Didcot to Culham River crossing will significantly reduce congestion in the area and provide a safe route for walkers and cyclists. In particular, it will help relieve the congestion at the existing historic river crossings through Sutton Courtenay, Culham Villages, and also at Clifton Hampden.
Now for an item from last week's Henley Standard. That's the Henley Standard for August the 14th, 2026. Cake eating contest and mixed races at Sports Day. A care home in Benson has held a sports day. Staff and residents at Benson House in Oxford Road competed together in mixed teams for first place. The event on Friday, July the 31st, was put together by the home's wellbeing coordinator, Lauren Cann, who organised events including an egg and spoon race, sack race and tug of war. Staff also decorated the games area with sports-themed bunting. Ms. Cann said, "I felt that residents and team members needed a fun afternoon. We wanted something that would bring the staff and residents closer together and, most importantly, make the residents happy. It was my best day at work ever." At 2:30 p.m, residents and staff gathered in the home's garden to take part or to spectate. Viewers could watch from an allocated area which had sofas, garden chairs and tables in the shade. Participants were divided into three teams, blue, red and yellow. The sack race was won by home care assistant Susanna Bunder from the red team. Resident Jill Wright said, "Watching the carers jumping in the sack race actually made me cry with laughter." Maureen Legg, Janet Phillips and Grace Williams took part in the three-legged race with staff members. There was also a wheelchair egg and spoon race, which was followed by a cake eating competition for staff. Ms. Bunder had a hat trick of wins, winning the egg and spoon race with resident Frank Gittins, while also winning the cake eating competition. The kitchen team, led by Chef Stephen Kurukaru, provided a buffet for all, while the red team were crowned overall winners. The red team received a medal each and reacted with surprise and joy, George King, the home's customer relationship manager, said. It was a hugely enjoyable event for residents and for the staff, and has been declared a huge success. With the combination of sunshine, fresh air, friendly competition and camaraderie bringing joy to all involved. Mr. King said they received feedback that the day reminded people of sports days at school when they were children. He added, "The day went better than I could have hoped for. It was so great to see all the residents and staff laughing and making memories together." This item also appeared in last week's Henley Standard and entitled "Pub Gears Up for Street Party with 50s Theme." Pub in Watlington is finalising its plans for a street party at the end of this month. Gozia Jarzabak D, originally from Poland, runs the Checkers in Love Lane with her husband, D39. The couple moved to the town in 2020 and met their now business partner, David Mann, and the trio have run the Breakspear pub since January last year. Now they will host a 50s Greece-themed event on Saturday, August the 29th. The idea is the brainchild of Mrs. Jarzabak B, who wanted to create an event like this due to her love of the 70s movie musical starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. The event will see live music, a kids' corner with children's activities including face painting, a vintage car meet, and an outdoor cinema showing Grease. There will also be two ladies dressed in 50s-inspired costume outfits and serving drinks on roller skates. Mr. Jarzabak D said, "We want to recreate the 50s at the pub. We want to bring the magic back to life. We have permission to block off the road directly in front of the Checkers without disturbing residents, which is great. So we are able to have some activities in the street, which will be amazing. Nothing has changed much from our original plan to what we envisage and our final product will look like. Gozia had a very clear idea of what she wanted. We have been blown away by how many of our customers have shown an interest. We have had inquiries from people in Watlington, but also people in areas nearby like Henley, Stoke Row and Nettlebed, which has just been wonderful." He said that the whole point of the day is to create something for the community. Mr. Jarzabak D said, "We have high hopes and the expectation that people from Watlington and around will come and join in the fun. Also, with it being the bank holiday weekend, we felt this was a perfect timing before everyone goes back to school and back to work after the summer, to celebrate Watlington and have fun and come together as a community. We want it to be for everyone in the town. I also think it would be something different and nice for everyone. We are a pub, but we want to reach out to our larger community and hold a light-hearted celebratory event." Mr. Jarzabak D said that there will also be a fancy dress competition with a surprise first prize award. He said, "That is a big thing for us. We want it to look like you've stepped into the 50s America. I'm not sure how much I will be able to dress up, but I will try my best to look the part." The couple have ordered special bunting, posters and similar decorations for the pub to transport their guests. Breakspear have also arranged for the pub to have an outdoor bar for the evening. Mr. Jarzabak D added, "We want to create a party vibe and an aim to have something for everyone. This is about our customers, it's about our community, and it's about Watlington. That's the whole point." A spokesman for Breakspear said, "Gozia and D are going to be hosting a fabulous day for all the family. Following on from hugely successful past theme days, this will be a not-to-miss event. We are delighted to support the Checkers team, led by Gozia and Dee, as they put their pub at the heart of the local community."
The On This Day column. Bill Clinton, former US president, is 80 today, and there is a photograph of him. Last year, Metropolitan Police boss Sir Mark Rowley said live facial recognition, or LFR, technology would be used without bias amid concerns about it being deployed at that year's Notting Hill Carnival. Birthdays. Richard Ingrams, former editor of Private Eye, 89. Jill St. John, actress, 86. Billy J. Kramer, 60s pop star, 83. John Deacon, rock musician of Queen, 75. Kevin Dillon, actor, 61. And Erica Christensen, actress, 44. In history, in 1856, condensed milk was patented. 1897, the London Electric Cab Company began operating the first taxi cab in London's West End and City. The black and yellow electric cars went at 9 miles an hour. They had a range of just up to 30 miles, but proved uneconomical and were withdrawn in 1900. 1953, England, under Captain Len Hutton, won the Ashes for the first time since the controversial Bodyline Tour of 1932-3. In 1991, Soviet hardliners toppled President Gorbachev in a dramatic coup. The plotters put tanks on the streets of Moscow, banned demonstrations, and imposed a state of emergency. And in 2008, cyclist Chris Hoy won his third gold medal of the Beijing Games in the men's sprint, making him Britain's most successful Olympian at a single Olympics for 100 years.
And now we have this week's What's On items, starting with Wallingford Chamber Music. There's a concert to be held at St Mary Lamore Church, Marketplace, Wallingford, this Saturday, the 27th of August, beginning at 7:30 p.m. Present will be the musicians Joe Harris, Margaret Lingeth, and Daniel King-Smith. Together, the three musicians will perform an exciting programme ranging across 400 years, from Monteverdi to Havana's, taking in showstoppers such as Handel's Let the Bright Seraphim, Mozart's Jubilate, and Bizet's Carmen Suite. Tickets range from £20 to £22. Also on Saturday is the Cholsey Village Show, to be held at the Cholsey Recreation Ground between 12 and 5 pm. There is Cholsey Flower Show in the Marquee and a whole afternoon of family entertainment, including falconry displays, cycling, biplane, comedy act, vintage vehicles, fun dog show, and lots more, all accompanied to the music by Cholsey Silver Band. Wallingford Castle History Walk. This is a walk taking place next Wednesday, the 26th of August. Those wishing to participate will meet at the Wallingford Museum for a 2:30 departure. Cost is £5 per person, but no booking required. Then the walk promises to explore what remains of Wallingford Castle with an expert guide, and you'll journey into the heart of Wallingford's castle, into the Barbican, across a moat, and into the Inner Bailey. Imagine the hubbub of daily life over 600 years ago. For further information, visit www.wallingfordmuseum.org.uk/events. Next, we have Ewelm Hootenanny, be held on Ewelm Common, OX10 6PG, on the 29th of August, beginning at 6 p.m. This is to be a relaxed evening of live music, good food, and community spirit. Visitors are invited to take a picnic and make a donation if they wish. Licensed bar and homemade brownies from the pudding bar. Local group Tragic will provide a mix of 70s and 80s classic. For more information, email uelm@icloud.com. And finally, Southstoke Open Gardens will be held in Southstoke Village on the 31st of August between 1 and 5 p.m. Several gardens will be open with teas and cakes in the village hall and a Pimm's bar. Entry to the gardens will be £6. Please note, no dogs allowed in gardens, and not all gardens will have disabled access. With that item, we've reached the end of this week's recording. And so from the three of us here, wishing you well until next week, it's
goodbye.